Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Mike sitting next to Johnny. A fun and relatively close to home topic for me today is bulk. Bulking season is upon me, and I have some thoughts about it. So just context why I kind of wanted to go over this topic. Past few weeks, I picked up about 3,000 CDs and probably close to 4,000 DVDs. You guys know me, follow me on YouTube. I am the thrifting guy, right? Johnny's supposed to be the bulk guy, right? That's the first red flag that I probably should have ran the other way because Johnny's all the way across the country. But hey, it's a too good of a deal to pass up, Johnny, right? Like 10 cents a piece.
It tend to be, yeah.
I'm into the CDs for like, I paid $400 for the pallet of CDs. I paid $300 for the 4,000 DVDs. And it sounds so enticing. And I'm here to tell you the work that goes into the back end. If I could go back, I might have still did the CDs, but the DVDs, I 100% would have passed on just from the workload aspect of it compared to running thrifting routes, taking only items I know I'm going to box up and get rid of. I have the storage unit, yes, so I got to put it to use. But man, bulk is a lot of work, and I don't know, dude. Give me your mindset behind bulk and how you choose to deal with it, because that's kind of the life you thrive in. You love just being buried in junk.
Oh yeah. My thoughts on it are your source has to be credible before you even take that on. And that usually means you going down to look at it or you doing a test buy before you commit to doing a larger buy. And a test buy is usually like a Gaylord or something, or I'm going to go down here to the back room of, I don't know, some estate sales warehouse, right? And you're going to do the clean out. Like, I like to do a partial clean out or I like to look over what you got here before I consume it all. But I'm definitely interested if the product's good. Sure. But the product needs to be correct before you even wheel this out of the facility or do a gigantic order from somebody you've networked with. That's pretty much fundamental, because if you just, well, let's do this thing, it's a lot of quantity, the number doesn't mean valuable to you. 10,000 of this, 5,000 of this, or 2,000 items, that sounds really good. Like, I'm only paying like 3 cents for it. Well, you're not really. You're paying a little bit more because you're going to pump in a lot of hours to go through these thousands and thousands of items. So when you bring that stuff back, you start going through it, bad sign, bad sign, bad sign. This was not correct. I should not have done this. Or, okay, I'm not going to do a bigger order. I'm not going to do a bigger clean out with this place anymore because this is just black garbage. You don't know until you really do that, unfortunately. Or you get a referral from somebody that uses somebody that they deal with, and they're telling you the metrics that they're willing to. This comes with networking communities and stuff. That happens too. Like if Mike gave me a referral to somebody, I don't know, out in Canada, great stuff. And I'd be like, okay, sure, I'll do it. But I'm still going to do a test buy just to make sure Mike's not full of it. But I would take the referral like, hey, might as well. Because the thing about bulk is we're all different levels of bulk. Mike can only maybe take one pallet. Me, I could probably take three. Or somebody else may be able to take a full semi-truckload worth, right? So usually these guys that supply the stuff have more than all of us could withstand if they sent it all to us. There'd be no way we'd be able to keep up. So the more the merrier. And then if you're dealing in disc media, you got that wonderful task of recasing and disc cleaning. That's the hardest part to me, or the most infuriating part about disc media, is you got to do that stuff, unfortunately, or test the stuff. If you question I don't know if these things work, they're ex-library, I buffed them, but I still question it. Maybe you need to do some testing to verify it, or maybe they were stored in a not great container with extreme heat or extreme cold. I don't know if these still work or not, or if they're damaged, water damage, right? If any moisture got into books and stuff. There's all these considerations when doing bulk, right? I'm rambling. I have much more to say, but go ahead,
It's
Mike.
exciting, dude, though, right? Like when you're getting 3,000 CDs for $400, right? Like you can't lose. Yeah, I'm here to tell you, you can lose because my money per hour was definitely lower dealing with that than if I just would have went and ran thrift routes. Now, I'm not saying I didn't go thrifting those weeks. I still went thrifting, but if I just had to compare the two, and I'm here to tell you, I'll be 100% transparent. These boxes were sealed, taped closed. There's only two boxes open in the pallet. I did inquire. It used to be an old record shop that closed down during the pandemic. So this was stuff that was just sitting there for 4 years. But like, I had no idea what was in the 40 boxes besides the two that were open. So it is a roll of the dice. And like, I know I'm going to make my money back, but it's still like, there is so much more that goes into this. And for the new person that just thinks all the inventory is great, like if I give you a full breakdown of the numbers between the CDs and DVDs, we'll just say 7,000 for the sake of this. How many items did I actually were able to send in or send to a buyback company? It's probably going to wind up around for the CDs, probably like 700 of the 3,000. For the DVDs, it's going to be closer to like 400. So out of the 7,000, I literally could only monetize roughly 1,100, 1,200. That's 5,800 disc I have to figure out something to do with. And I'm just throwing away, dude. I wish I could just have a wand and make them disappear, but you gotta load the car, unload the car, scan it, get rid of everything, take everything that's good, and then get rid of that as oh my God. I don't.
Mike was spitting out a lot of numbers, and I was doing the internal calculator as he was doing that. So, worst case scenario, because this is what I think about in bulk. Worst case scenario, what's the end result? He ended up about $3,500 in a worst case scenario. He'll probably make more than that, but then he's got to divide that $3,500 by the amount of hours he's putting in, then subtract all the cost, his buy cost, and then all the Amazon associated fees. The 3,500 factors in Amazon fees, but his buy cost and then his time. He's got to factor that all in and spread it out amongst $3,500. Was the amount of hours minus buy cost worth it? Yes, no, checkbox. That's immediately what my mind goes to on any bulk deal.
Now, I do say there's tons of benefits to bulk. Not everybody's a little sissy baby and just doesn't want to deal with it like me. I do think people that have full-time jobs that need the inventory at home, maybe people that have kids that can't always get out to thrift stores. I think there's a lot of benefits of having the inventory come to you. And in your case, you've seen great quality stuff walk through the front door of your brick and mortar. So there are benefits to this model. I just think the person that kind of tries to half-ass bulk and a thrifting model, like you're on a ship that's filling up with water, and sooner or later you're going to sink.
What's up, Amazon sellers? We wanted to take a second to talk about GoToLister, the software me and Johnny both use to list and manage our inventory and grow our businesses. With the fastest listing speeds out there and built-in profit analytics, it's a no-brainer. Easily and quickly have items available for sale using 2D barcodes and get more for your items with its built-in smart pricing. Make sure to check out the 30-day free trial at GoToLister.com/Mike or using the link in the description below.
Yeah, I mean, doing bulk or having it dealing with donations of any time or being the free pickup person or the cleanout person, there is a lot of work. You're gonna get everything you are, but keyword there, everything, the junk too, the garbage, the waste management in bulk life. That's what hurts a lot of people. And here's what hurts them even more. They've got out all their stuff that's going eBay, Amazon, or whatever selling platform, and then they have all this stuff left over. And they're like, how can I make money with no? That's your first mistake. No.
That's the biggest mistake, dude.
I've seen bigger people than myself try to monetize the bulk, but the amount of hours they put in trying to do this versus just sticking with their core business, which in most cases is Amazon or eBay. Well, mainly Amazon when I'm talking about bulk. I'm not saying there's not bulk specific eBay sellers, there are, but their level of bulk is different than an Amazon seller level of bulk, in my opinion. It's just different. more quantity with the Amazon bulk sellers. So the Amazon seller's getting this thing. I'm gonna do eBay. I'm sorry. If you go to Amazon to eBay, that's a horrible life. If you go to eBay to Amazon, it seems like a great life, honestly, because there's so much more work, in my opinion, that goes into eBay for your time. So the $100 Amazon item compared to the $100 eBay item, the amount of time put into the eBay item is so much more than the Amazon $100 item. It really is. Amazon may take a little bit more of your money, but you get so much more time. So you can compound it much faster in an Amazon landscape than you could an eBay landscape.
I'm sure you can give a horror story about bulk. I'll do one first. I drove 40 minutes away. Lady said, hey, yeah, I got a few boxes of bulk I need you to pick up. Nice area, right? Like, not like I was headed down to the ghetto. Nice area out in the middle of nowhere, farmland, central Pennsylvania. I show up, they're all stacked out there, right? Because a lot of people don't want to deal there. Hey, I'll just put it out on the porch for you. Free pickup, right? It's free, Johnny. I can't lose, right? There's gotta be at least two or three books in here that'll cover my gas and put a little bit of scratch in my pocket. She must have bought and owned every single Betty Crocker microwave cookbooks in existence. And when I say all eight boxes were microwave cookbooks, they were all microwave cookbooks. So I literally just hauled the junk away for free. And this was probably a year or so ago. And it kind of smacked me in my face and made me realize, like, this is not the play. If you can be smarter and go get the stuff and leave the junk behind, 100% of the time, that's got to be your play. Don't be the person. And I have bulk relationships. People know I work with libraries, but that's like cream of the crop stuff, right? Like, that's the really good stuff. That's not the stuff that's been sitting in somebody's basement for the past 12 years with the rats and the roaches and, like, that's the good stuff. That's what I want people to focus on in bulk is quality bulk. It exists out there. Just I bought my lots off Facebook Marketplace, Johnny. It wasn't like a supplier. This was just two random people selling thousands of CDs and DVDs. And why would somebody have thousands of DVDs? Well, he used to do flea markets. It's too much to load up the trailer anymore with the 35 boxes of the banana boxes full of DVDs. That's why he wanted to get out of it. And the DVDs just suck, dude. Like, I got my whole fold out table. If you ever watch one of my YouTube videos, it's literally full. You can't fit another DVD on it out of the boxes because I have to scan them for buyback companies. And yeah, it's brutal, man. And I'll tell you what, I'm gonna lay low for a little bit, man. Unless there's, yeah, I don't even know if there's such thing as a deal that's too good to be true in the bulk game, at least for the next, for the rest of quarter four for me. I have my library pick up this week, but like I said, that's like, that's really good quality items. I don't have no problem doing that. But when it comes to disc media, I think I'm gonna not go on Facebook Marketplace and search CDs and DVDs, at least for the next month, because I got bit again and I made money. Johnny said, yeah, you make money, right? I make a few thousand dollars, but when I really start breaking down the time and work, true, if I just would have ran my routes, like, I could walk into some of these, record stores and leave with, $2,000 in profit, and it's just an IKEA bag full instead of having to deal with a literal car that's just CDs and DVDs falling out of.
I did a bulk pickup. This is early on when I was an everything seller. It was a Coca-Cola collection and had everything. Had the Coke bottles. Some were full, some were sealed, some were open, nifty bottles, and then glassware, plates, anything Coca-Cola could smack their brand on. I'm doing comps. Okay, 20 bucks here, $5 here, whatever. It's bulk, right? I'm starting to list this stuff. And this was one of the check boxes that got me out of being an everything seller. Definitely was one of those pickups. And I said, screw it. And then the hits keep on coming with this collection. When I decided to get out of everything, I just did a gigantic yard sale and had somebody come up and they wanted to buy the whole collection. I'm like, great. Take it all, please. Thank you. I'm agreed on a number. And then they told me they wanted me to deliver it. Or they asked if I willing to be delivered. And I stupidly said yes. So after the yard sale is over, I threw what didn't sell in the storage units, and then I auctioned off the storage units, cleared all the everything out. But this deal still remained. So I had to drive half an hour to their little country hick home, and we're unloading it. And they're like, Yes, but we want you to put it here. You know what here was? They had buried some drum barrels into the ground, and they wanted me to put the contents into these drum barrels, which I did. I don't know why it was done this way, but whatever. And then we put the caps on these drum barrels that are semi buried in the ground, and then we buried them. And then I left.
Dude.
I didn't want anything more to do with this deal. I drove home really fast and I was like, never again.
You should be on an episode of Unsolved Mysteries. I mean, I but like we don't
Was really
realize.
weird. I didn't question it. I just did it because I wanted to leave.
I do think there's a huge upside in being a bulk reseller, but I do think there's a huge learning curve and having processes and thinking about employees a lot sooner
Yeah.
than somebody like myself, where it's just me, right? You look at Johnny, we look at other people that we have over in the group that are doing bulk. You need to have somebody else because you have to process as much as you possibly can, as quick as you possibly can, and just keep going and keep scanning more and scanning more and scanning more, and you cannot get attached to the stuff that's not worth it.
Right. I mean, you're inbound, outbound, like inbound, you're taking stuff in. Outbound, stuff is leaving either in the context I'm using it's going to Amazon. It's outbound, meaning it leaves. Outbound could also be meaning junk disposal, because with bulk, we'll get to this in a minute, it comes so much junk. But the more you can process, the more money you can make, even with labor involved, if you know your numbers, your metrics, that your criterion to send stuff in and or list for eBay and or list for merchant fulfill or whatever selling platform you deem fit for yourself. It's all about that. How many dollars can I make this year? Well, it all depends on how many good items, will sell items, you can acquire. And that makes or breaks you for the year on that number you want. It honestly does. So if you're only doing bulk like once a month, like you're doing I don't know, a pallet's worth or a truckload's worth, but your aspirations are 10 times the amount in volume, you've got 9 other months to figure it out with some buffer months in there. But if your number's even more than that, you got to increase what you're doing. Maybe you go to twice a month or three times a month to meet that criterion you set up for yourself. And that's the thing with bulk. We control that criterion, magical, mystical number we're wanting, right? So that can be a damn yourself scenario if it's too high because you're wanting to meet this number, but you're not set up to meet that number. And you think you are, you think you're going to power through it and you fall short, or some disaster happens, like Amazon locks you out for 6 weeks. You can't send anything in. That backs up the pipeline for a month and a half, especially if you've made commitments to continuously order from somebody or continuously source from somebody. You got to pump the brakes for them, which screws up your entire calendar year. And once you're out of that window, how do you make it up is your initial thought. Maybe you can, maybe you can't, or maybe you give it the college try and whatever happens, happens after that. There's going to be something unforeseeable happen, or maybe the batch you're getting is completely garbage and you were banking on that, making a lot of money for the month. Well, you got to figure out how to cut your losses and move on and then make up the money you're dependent on to pay your bills, right? There's all these things that come with bulk life.
Lots. I hate lots.
You know what? I've said this on a few podcasts, my own and or this one and some others here and there. Stop doing lots, please, and thank you.
So the argument, Johnny, is, well, like you got 6,000 CDs and DVDs, why not just lot them up and put them on eBay? Okay, I'll hear you out, right? We can have the conversation as long as we're willing to walk back the numbers. They'll sell, right? I'm sure they'll sell. I'll throw up
Why not?
100 disc only CD, DVD lots. I've seen this on some YouTube channels and just like you lay out all the CDs, you take four photos, you sell the 100 CD lot for $25, $30 after fees, the customer service, they break on the way. You are so much better doing tasks that make you a whole much more. That's why I don't mess around with it. I can go to a thrift store and I can make my 50 plus dollars an hour. Why would I ever want to burn my time, even if I have the time? Because if you have the time, then you should be out doing more high dollar performing tasks like going to more thrift stores and more better sources. Why are we tr What do you think it is? Why are we so enticed to chase every single penny on every single item that we get in these bulk lots?
Because we bought it, it's ours. We own it now. We're the proprietor of it, and that's why we have garage sales. When we don't get very much money, we're trying to recoup some expense that we made way back here. We're trying to get some dollars. It's the same thing in bulk, except the time frame is much shorter. It's when the job's done. It's okay. So how do I make money at this stuff? You see people try to sell it to other resellers, just throw it up on marketplace, try to go to bookstores, mom and pops, or commercial ones to get some trade credit. I'm not saying any of these things are unhealthy to do. And if you can make it work, great. But more people than not can't make it work. It ends up not being worth the time. And even some of the commercial places, they have limitations. So you're stuck with this mess back home because you can only deposit so much at these times, these people that want to take it. Where shelves are full, if it's a mom and pop, we can't take any more right now. We need to sell some before we take any more from you. Or if you go to Second and Charles, I think there's like a 3 tote minimum, but
Yep.
you've got 100 totes worth of stuff. So divide that by X number of days. You still got this mess if you're not dealing, if you have a storage unit and it's occupying most of it, it's going to continue to occupy most of it for X amount of days if that's your only outlet to this stuff, versus just collecting it all, either going to a Goodwill that will take that much, because you know what? If it's too much, they will turn your ass away. Or going down to just the dump, or if you live out in the country, collect yourself a burn pile, honestly. The waste disposal in bulk is extreme. A paper recycler or a recycler in general, that can be a good means to the end. Maybe they pay you, maybe they won't, but at least they take it, right? You mentioned buybacks earlier. That's another form that a lot of Amazon sellers at least utilize to get rid of some junk and get some money back to you. But you have to analyze each one of these things. And it's going to be different for everybody. If you got a mom and pop, it'll just take as much as you can give you. You may make more money than a buyback company and or a recycler, depending on the relationship. Or they turn it into store credit, which is you're taking better quality items. You're a cherry picker at this point. Better quality items back with you to then get outbound. So a little bit of inbound for your outbound to go back outbound.
I tracked it to so I could have like an estimate of so buyback companies, right? You scan your items, they say, hey, we'll give you X amount for your items. Usually this is stuff we don't want. So it's like it's junk, right? So you're not gonna get they're not gonna give you any types of crazy money. My situation, it's about 50 cents per item they take. The accept rate from what they were taking was probably between like 5 and 12% out of everything. So I'm getting 50 cents per item. I actually time myself. And my dollar per hour was right around $40 per hour. I can live with that. If it was anything lower, the stuff sitting at my storage unit, I would just automatically donate. But I did time myself for the first three batches I made for buybacks, and it's right around $40 per hour. This is just PayPal money coming into my account when it gets there. But even things like that, you have to pay attention because if that's a $10 an hour task, we gotta just turn and burn. I'm all about turning and burning it. You could argue that, hell, you probably shouldn't even have wasted time with buybacks, but it is what it is. I'll get some money in my PayPal account and then I'll go buy a Domino's pizza with my PayPal balance. So it's kind of like Mike math, it's like girl math, Mike math. I scan my duds so I can buy Domino's pizzas.
Yeah, and I said it a minute ago, but I'm gonna put some more emphasis on it. Depending on your level of bulk and your outlets for getting rid of junk, some things are better for other different level of bulk sellers. Like if you're a smaller bulk seller, buybacks make sense to me because you probably got the one pallet, you did the work. It's, I don't know, 6 o'clock at night. Most things are closed. Might as well scan for the buybacks, box it up, it goes out next day. Versus a person who may be four times in scale, well, they're done with the one pallet. They got three more to go. So they're going to do that. And are they going to go back through, or they're probably doing it at the same time? And maybe they have a buyback gaylord that they're just slinging stuff in. And that's just part of the process. Or they're like, no, I don't even mess with the buy box. I just toss that stuff. Other people get, I've seen it before. I've done it myself. I've done a garage sale. This is the junk. This is before I open my storefront. Like, I need it to go. I don't really want to throw it away. Let me do a garage sale. But doing the math after the garage sale, I mean, I made decent money, but it was like Starbucks hourly employee money. And it was like, huh, yeah, this isn't worth doing. I'm just going to throw it away next time because I lost time in the core business because I was focusing on the junk. How do I monetize the junk? We all struggle with this.
We're not saying that making, $15 an hour is a bad thing, but in the reselling realm, your dollar per hour should be much higher than that. So why not get paid more, right? Like it's all this comes down to is I just want you to make more money and arguably spend less time and do a lot less work because it's a lot of work dealing with bulk and it's not shown, it's not talked about. You see the trucks backing up, you see it getting unloaded, but you don't see somebody sitting there for 8 hours stacking it, scanning it, throwing it, sorting it, then loading it back up and getting rid of it. I think bulk, it's such a tricky balance. And I teeter totter, on a 6 month time frame, I'll be like, hey, get out there and do bulk. I will say it is good for somebody who doesn't have a lot of cash and has a lot of time because you trade your time for money in that situation. So if you're the person that's looking to scale your business and you don't have a lot of money, then 100%, you need to be the free pickup person. You need to be the person taking the junk and squeezing every dollar you can get out of it because you're so new to the business. You don't want to spend a lot of money. You don't have a lot of money, but you still want to see growth. I think that's where bulk is the biggest play. The only other biggest play is being like Johnny or some of these people we have in a group where we're the bulk guys and girls of the club, and that's A-okay as long as you commit to that process. You don't see Johnny running out here trying to go to thrift stores in addition to the bulk, right? Like you never see the it's funny because you never see the bulk guys worrying about going to the thrift stores, but you always see the thrift store guys and girls always worried about trying to get into the bulk game. It's so weird how that works. It's like the bulk people that accept we are the bulk people, we're only going to do this. They stay in their lane. They don't try coming into the thrift stores. But us thrifters, we're like, oh, Johnny, cut us in, man. Give me one of them gaylords you got coming in. And it can sink your ship. Like it sucks some days.
Right. And even in, and again, there's different levels of bulk. In my book group, I'm the smallest bulk guy. Let me emphasize it. In Mike's group, I'm considered a big bulk seller. I'm not. I don't have multiple warehouses. I don't have 20 employees. Some people I know, they got that kind of shit. That's a different level of bulk than me. That's kind of like what that photo behind Mike there. That's what gigantic bulk looks like, large level bulk. The other thing to think about is bulk sellers tend to, I'll just put make an employee do this low dollar hour task. So you're paying a low dollar wage to do a low dollar productive activity for them. That is not a good use of that employee's time, I'm afraid. But that is usually the go-to. And that's the wrong thing to do. You need to put the low dollar earner, your employee who doesn't make as much per you per hour. That's what I mean by lower dollar. I'm not trying to diminish the employees at all here when I'm saying this, but they make less than you at the end of the day, or they should. And they need to be doing a high dollar task to not only justify their wage, but make you your more dollars an hour that you are worth. And maybe you give that employee a raise a year later.
If I committed to being the bulk operation, like say right here, right now, I said, Johnny, going forward, I'm not going to thrift stores. I got suppliers. I'm going to be dealing with pallets and gaylords. The first thing I'm doing is hiring an employee. And some of you out there doing bulk that are getting pallets, getting all this inventory, trying to do it on your own, it ain't going to last. It might seem glorious today, might seem glorious for the next month. The way you scale in bulk is by replicating yourself and paying yourself less money. This is ex just exactly what Johnny said. You just create little Johnnies that make less money than big Johnny, and that's how you make money in the bulk game. It's so hard to do it on your own, and the one-offs, sure, I can handle it, but I mean, if you drop a truckload of stuff at my storage unit, like, dude, that would sink me for like 2 or 3 months. But if I had an employee, and that's another tricky thing because resellers aren't trained with hiring employees and SOPs and what should we have them do? What part of the business? It's such a slippery slope with bulk, and I think it's a great opportunity if you're willing to be super serious about being the bulk person. I think those people thrive. It's tough, man.
Right. And then person brings on employee and they're like, I'm just going to do sourcing all the time. The employee can do all the shitty jobs. Ha 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 ha. As they drive away. That's not what it's like. You have to have that employee do jobs that make money, not just the shit you don't want to do. Honestly, I think I broke Mike here.
Dude, that's like perfect. That was like the perfect like Batman villain voice and everything, right? Like that's what Johnny does. His employee shows up and he gets in the Batmobile and he drives off just giggling like the Joker. Like, yeah, have fun doing everything I don't want to do. But
Yeah.
no, see what happens here though is it's exactly what you said. You get an employee and then you slack off when
Yeah.
like you need to be pedal to the metal in this business, especially in bulk, because you got to get through volume and volume and volume. You can't slow down just because you bring somebody else on.
Right. When I'm training an employee, I'm like, I'm never gonna ask you anything I'm not gonna do myself, or I'm gonna do alongside you. That bottom line, I'm in it with you. That doesn't mean I'm doing it at the same time as you, because when you leave, guess who has to do what you were doing all day? It's me. Or you're gonna do three boxes, I'm gonna do three boxes. It's fair. I always break it down that way because I never want the employee to think the quote unquote boss is lazy. Or, you know what? I'm gonna sweep the floor today. I need you to go pack boxes. Realize that I'm sweeping the floor right now. I don't say it as a in a jerky way like that, but they see it. If they see that, they have more, okay, he's doing the bullshit with me kind of mentality. And I think that's what keeps employees around a little longer than if you just give them, you know, I've seen this before. Like, you're gonna do all of this work, and I'm gonna do this fun task over here. Ha ha ha. I see it. I see it. And it's not right in my opinion. And that employee is gonna leave.
Now, you're 100% right. We're going to wrap it up here. I might be jaded talking about bulk after I just dealt with 7,000 CDs and DVDs, but I just wanted to kind of, because it was fresh in my mind, tell you all that no deal is too good to pass up. I mean, it's a lot of work, it's a lot of scanning. Even if it's quality stuff, even if you make money, how much money did you make versus how many hours you actually spent? And there's plenty of opportunity to not deal in bulk or be the bulk person. I think it's a process you have to commit to either way. The flip-flopping doesn't work anymore, in my opinion. Sure, it's cool to get one every once in a while, but trying to always be doing pickups and then running thrifting routes, it's just too much. You just get bogged down and your dollar per hour goes down. So that's going to do it for this week's net. Dude, I am butchering the ends of these podcasts.
You know what? I'm going to take the ending here. If you
Go
like
ahead.
what you hear here, I would like you to please like, subscribe, and leave a comment. We do have a Patreon group where you can get weekly calls and one-on coaching for Mr. Mike here. He does a fantastic job and loves every single one of you. Please do this.
It's
Goodbye.
not, dude, you suck just as bad as me. It's not even a Patreon group, dude. Like,
Oh, YouTube, whatever.
oh my God. Anyways, we appreciate you listening or watching over on YouTube. We'll talk to you all next week's episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.